Welcome to Sin 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
We are glad you're here.
Yes, we are. They should all have to raise their hands like you do on a Zoom call. Are you here? Hello? Hello?
Oh, yeah. But no one can see us, so it'd be pointless.
Yeah, and they're really missing out. Because we have probably the best looking guests that, well, since the last one.
Except for when I show up late and I'm still in my like PJs. And that was one time.
Yeah.
I was still in my pajama pants. And
I think it's so comfortable. We're friends. We're family. PJs are fine.
Yeah.
What do you think, Gonzo?
Yeah.
Hi, Rick.
Okay, so this is strategic. This is possibly my most strategic move. Mm-hmm. There was a rumor that I was fired.
Don't know who started that.
Brianna started it. And that she was taking over. And she did such an incredible job.
Thank you.
That I needed to come back strong to keep my position, which is what I'm struggling.
You picked from the same family. So it's actual legit strategic. I got the daughter. And you got the dad.
Yeah. And quite frankly, Alyssa Gonzalez might not even be here without Rick Gonzalez.
Yeah.
He had something to do with that.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget Rick Gonzalez one time. And by the way, I don't know how he feels about it, but I feel like this is a kindred spirit. This is my brother.
Mm.
This is a man I love and respect. This is let's go take over the world together. That's how I feel about you, Rick. He told me one time, he goes, you have to hear my daughter sing. My daughter sings like an angel. And when I hear her sing, I tell her, you sing like an angel. So the music you guys are producing all the time, is it SD Worship or San Diego Worship?
San Diego Worship.
San Diego Worship.
Okay, so San Diego Worship on Spotify or iTunes or wherever.
Anywhere you listen to your music.
Anywhere you listen to your music. It is extraordinary, and you're a part of that. Matt, you do the technical, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He's in the room.
And Plan too?
On some of them.
Okay, cool. And then Alyssa's on there and some other guys. I don't know. I can't remember.
San Diego Worship.
Shout out to Parker and Shane and Matt. Enough about that. It's beautiful music, and she's a part of that, and she really...
Yeah.
You were right. I haven't caught you in telling me any lies yet, but here we are. So, Rick, what are you up to these days, man?
I've got a lot going on. Before I get started on that, let me just go ahead and say, if you're out there and you haven't heard my daughter, you do need to hear my daughter.
There you go.
She sings like an angel. We knew Alyssa would be special. She came out screaming and she hasn't stopped since. But the wonderful part about her was when she was about 3 years old, she started singing. And I don't mean like little kid singing. Mm-hmm. She started singing real singing, melody, harmony.
Glasses are shattering.
Yeah, and the neighbors are coming over to find out what we're listening to.
Is that Celine Dion?
By the time she was 12 or 13 years old, she was winning contests at school and all that crazy stuff. When she was little, she would sing until she fell asleep. And then she would sing in her sleep. And then she would wake up singing. And she wasn't necessarily singing like... She watched VeggieTales and all the other stuff, and that was really cute, but she sang worship songs, and she had a heart for worship. And so early in her life, we knew that God had selected her somehow for that specific thing. I mean, through years of her own journey with Christ, she's come to a point where she's resolved that's what she wants to do.
Yeah.
And many times people have come to her with opportunities of, hey, you should sing, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, I only sing for Christ. It's just a humongous honor, really, to have a kid that puts herself on the altar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can't take glory for that. I can only give that to God.
Yeah. You know? For sure. So are you saying you don't sing like Alyssa?
I don't know. I don't think I sing quite like Alyssa. More like a rolling trash can on fire down a hill.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Sounds beautiful.
So
hey,
where
we
she...
can mix that to be anything you want it to.
Come on, Matt.
We can work with that. We can work with that.
I expect that you probably listened to the Alyssa Gonzalez episode. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there anything that you need to retract or to expand upon?
I think the coolest thing about that episode, obviously, is that Brianna and Alyssa and Jess have this amazing connection through Christ. Brianna has been part of our family for a decade, I think, and she is like a daughter to me very much. And she has been a huge factor in our life, just raising Alyssa and helping us. And it's been a beautiful relationship through Jesus. The one thing I think I would add to Alyssa's testimony and witness is that she didn't really tell you that she's been a witness her whole life. And her first witness for Christ, her first evangelism, as we would call it, she was like 4 years old, and she was scared to death to go to public school. She sat me down and she said, "Dad, what if they don't let me pray over my food?" And I said, "They can't tell you not to pray over your food. And even if they could, they couldn't stop you from praying in your heart." And so she felt super confident about that. And the next day she went to school, and there was a little boy who was living in the same apartments as us. And she didn't really know him, but she knew of him. And they saw each other at lunch. And he said, "Can I sit with you?" And she said, "Yeah." And she started to pray over her lunch. And he said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm praying." And he goes, "Why?" And she witnessed to that kid, and I think he's still a Christian till this day. He calls her up every occasion, and they connect.
Yeah. We've got an episode that, I don't know if everybody knows how this works, but we record when we record, and we release when we release, and they don't always go in order. Mm-hmm. You were going to go right after Alyssa's episode, but yay, we have also, you guys, this is a tease for the Courtney Schaefer episode, which is coming out next. And one thing about it, not to give it all away, we talked about generational faith. Mm-hmm. We talked about her grandparents and them starting Indian Hills and all of that. And I see that with you and Alyssa for sure. But do you come from a faith-filled generation?
I do not. I grew up in a household where everything was acceptable. It wasn't a toxic environment in any way where I wasn't allowed to seek Jesus. I wasn't respected for it. I started at a young age because my mom did put us in a private school for about 3 years. And that's where I first learned about Jesus. And I took to it like a duck in water. They called me little preacher man. So every family event, I would stand on a box and start telling everybody about Jesus Christ, and they shouldn't smoke and they shouldn't drink. And everybody in my household smoked and drank. And nobody liked that. So I got cussed out a lot for it. But nonetheless, I was determined to speak my mind. And it kind of wore off over the years of just being not in a church setting, right? We weren't church folks. My parents didn't have a problem with faith. They didn't have a problem with people having faith. They just didn't want it in their house. And I was allowed to just believe whatever I want. And I got into a little bit of everything, from sorcery to Buddhism and all these things that I was just starving for identity as a kid. And so I just read a little bit of everything, including the Bible. My grandmother gave me a Bible when I was about 16. And little did I know that Bible would mean a lot to me. But as I started to get restless in my youth, that Bible became a kind of an anchor for me when I was lost. As I got a little bit older, I was about maybe 14. I had never really left the house. I had never really ventured out into the world on my own or done much. But I started making friends, and those friends weren't great. That led me into doing drugs, and for about 4 years, I spent my life doing drugs and trying to figure out who I was. That led me into a place where I had met some friends who went to church. We were all in the same gang, and we all lived in the same drug house. We just were a family of misfits, in a way. And I started dating a girl who said, "Hey, you need Jesus, and I'm going to take you to church." And so I followed her to church, only to figure out that we weren't really in love or anything, but Jesus is amazing. And ever since then, I've been in love with Jesus. But shortly after that, I met my wife, and my wife is amazing, right? We've been together, I think, since we were about almost 17, so 30 years. And from there, we moved on. We had a kid early, right? My first daughter, Geneva, praise God. We didn't have a clue. We just ran away with a hope that we would be able to make it through. And my parents stepped up and helped us get our act together, a little bit of boot camp. We got on the road and we were quickly adults. And we worked our hearts out trying to get somewhere. And we forgot about God. And God did not forget about us. So right around about 22, 23-ish, I had a regular job. I was a regular guy. I was a responsible person. Kids in the neighborhood would come over to my house and work out with me. We seemed like really upright people, but we were still doing drugs, and we still had a lot of bad habits and things we hadn't resolved. I was still working for a guy, doing some under the table type of stuff. But at that point, I started getting this feeling inside where I needed to have more. I needed something greater. And then I realized it was God. And that Bible showed up again. And all of a sudden, I'm convicted that I just need to read this Bible. I start reading this Bible, and it's a red letter Bible, right? So I'm looking at all the words of Jesus, and I tell myself, I just want to know what Jesus said.
Yeah.
But I'm embarrassed. I don't want to tell my wife. I don't want to tell anybody. All my friends were thugs. And so I just said, I'm going to hide away. So I would hide. We had a walk-in closet, and I'd literally hide in this closet and read my Bible. My wife came in one day, and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm reading the Bible. She's like, why are you in the closet? And it just dawned on me, like, I don't know. So that day, we had this conversation, and it was like she agreed with me. We do need to get right with God. And so we started cleaning up, and we started putting our act back together, and we said no to a lot of things in our life, and we made determinations. And one of the determinations was, we're going to go back to church. And well, my sister, she was a queester, you know, an Easter visitor, right? And at that time, she told us, hey, why don't you come with me to the Easter service at this church? And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, we keep saying we're going to do that. And so finally we did. And we received Christ there together. We returned to that church with a lot of loving arms, people that wanted to see us do well. And we were baptized together. We dedicated our children. We were discipled together. We went into children's ministry and did children's ministry for 6 years, and then ended up in youth ministry and on and on. And I can only praise God that there was moments where I realized that I look back and I think about small things. There was moments where people would just randomly show up on the street and be like, hey man, have you heard about Jesus Christ? With a track in their hand. And I'm like, wow, like that's weird. Yeah. And never did I think in my life that I would be one of those guys. But for the first like probably 10 years of my faith, I really just was glad to be alive, realizing from some experiences that I could have been dead with the things that I was doing and putting myself through. So I was just praising God. And I was just glad to be part of something that lifted people up from the same place that I was at. I would carry Bibles, tracts, everything in my trunk everywhere I went, and I would tell everybody I knew, right? And I just was going crazy trying to reach people with the Word of God. It's funny because I think about that, and I'm like, I'm that dude that was standing on the corner with no clue why, waiting for someone to come along. That was a huge experience to me, and I think the theme of this show is evangelism. And
actually, I don't hardly ever use that word
either, right,
because it just has such a context. But I'll tell you one thing is that what you're talking about is really the essence that I see of you. You can see the other person and understand that they were seeking for some truth. You can understand the feeling lost. You can understand the search. And I think that empathy for that other person really shows through. Like when you're having, you've done a lot of youth work at Foothills too. And I remember the story that you had some kids that were being knuckleheads at the restaurant next door to Youth Venture. And the owner hated those kids. He just wanted to kill them. And they had done something, and you made them go back and apologize to that owner, and he came to you like, what? This is, I never had an apology in my life from these kids. What the heck? And that he really respected what you're doing. And the thing is, you were tough with those kids to do that, but they knew where it was coming from because you knew them. You knew where they were coming from. And that whole thing works when you can identify with the lost, whether it's a kid or another adult or a guy just standing on the corner waiting for a track. Excuse me, I need a track.
Yeah.
That ability to identify with the lost, I think, is at the core of sharing Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's Timothy that says, fan into flame the gift that God has given you. And knowing that God has given you a heart for other people, is a gift. That's a gift from God, to have that compassion for other people, the empathy that it takes to understand that someone is just a person trying to find a way. Those are things from the Spirit. And one of the things that I really have tried hard to do in my life is not to lose who I was, not to forget who that dead man is or was, and to apply that to who I am now and to who I want to see those kids be. I want to see the fulfillment of God's plan in every young person that I ever meet. And I don't want to miss that chance because I don't have the vision for it. So I always keep in mind the dead person that I buried, who was me, so that I can remember that there is a chance. There is a different life for every person. God has a specific plan. He's already mapped that out. And it's only until we're willing to let that old person die that we can accept that new person.
What it does is it gets rid of the judgment.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because I got it all figured now. Look at me. Look at me. Wouldn't you like to be like me?
And it's
like, I wouldn't like to be like you were. Yeah. And it's still,
exactly.
It's still it.
When I think about speaking about Christ to other people and sharing the gospel, I think about Jonah a lot and just what a clown the guy was. But at the same time, to see the fulfillment of God and to understand you don't have to be perfect to share the gospel. The whole point is that you're not perfect. The whole point is that God is making us perfect. And this is a guy that didn't even love the people that he was assigned to. Mm-hmm. He hated them. He hated them, and he wanted to see them die. He'd probably lived through decades of war with those people of Nineveh, and God's fulfillment was still seen. The plan that he had for those people still came to fruition because this guy ran. He got on a boat. He was like, I'm out of here. And I'll never forget, I was walking down the street one day where I used to live, and there's this guy just tweaking out on his car, and he's trying to change the transmission on the ground outside in the middle of everything. And I feel the Spirit just tell me, go talk to this guy. And I'm like, I am not going to talk to that guy. I do not like tweakers. I am not the man for this job, Lord. And God was like adamant. And I'm pacing the fence nearby. But it's like a kid. I'm like, I am not going to talk to that guy. You show me that you want me to go talk to that guy. It doesn't make any sense, Lord. You know what I mean? Sure enough, I just gave in and I said, okay, God, I understand. And I walked over, I start talking to this guy, and this guy goes, dude, that's crazy. I was just praying to God. And inside I was like, yeah, thanks, God, I get it. I'm Jonah. You know what I mean?
By the way, you were just the guy that was closest.
Exactly. You know what I mean? It made no difference. The Lord wanted to see this guy, and that was it. And I think a lot of times we get caught up in the fear factor of whether we're good enough or whether we're able enough to speak to somebody about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Jonah was a prophet. That's how that book starts.
Yeah.
And no, the guy was not good enough to talk to those people because he didn't have a heart for them.
Yeah.
But no, even if you
didn't deserve God's mercy, he told God, no, these are the bad ones.
Right. Even if you don't have a heart for somebody, but you have a heart that loves God.
There we go.
And you're submitted to that. You're going to see the fruit of God.
Yeah, God will work through you.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it's generational fear factor. I think we found our theme here, because you're in the closet reading your Bible because something might happen if somebody saw you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're on the street fixing transmissions for tweakers. I don't know. There's a big jump there. And then Alyssa's going, well, if they catch me praying over my food, I'm going to get beat up.
I think it's so interesting because we're so willing to get into arguments and to have people not like us for so many other things.
Mm.
Like the movies that we watch or the music that we listen to, or like in high school, the clothes people would wear, and they'd be like, oh, like, you don't shop here. And we would be like, I don't care what you think. But when it comes to Jesus, it always becomes so much more like, oh, I don't want them to know about that. I don't want to get in an argument with that. I don't want them to know that I'm a Christian, but they can know that I like shop at the thrift store and that I eat macaroni and cheese with water and not milk. Like, I don't care if they know that, but yeah. if they knew I'm a Christian, that's like where I get, no, please no.
Do you guys remember the purpose-driven life?
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay. Rick Warren.
What's
yeah.
the first sentence?
I mean, I don't know it that well. You're going to have to tell okay. me.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's not about you.
Oh, yeah.
I will never forget because it's easy to remember, but it's not about you. And that's the thing. We think about this, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, it's about Jesus.
Right.
And that's what it's all about. And when we have our eyes on ourselves, then of course we're full of fear.
Yeah. And at one point in time, we were those people that were like Christians, weirdos. And it took somebody moving past their fear mm-hmm. and being like, do you know about Jesus?
Yeah.
For us to be where we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he said, Father, give me eyes to see like you see them. I want to see them like you see them. There are real people that are loved by God, created in his image, and they're praying for Rick Gonzalez to show up. They're praying for us to show up. This game is already going on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're either in or you're not. And if you're not in, you got to think about that for a second. Okay, mm-hmm. Brianna, you're a member of the Gonzalez family.
Yes. Alyssa and I met when she was like, I think she was 15 or something like that.
Probably a little younger, yeah.
Yeah, and she remembers me because she says the first time she met me, I was driving them home from youth ministry, and I was drumming on my steering wheel, and I was...
And you are a drummer.
I am a drummer. I was drumming on my steering wheel, and I was, like, rapping, like, Christmas songs, whatever.
Nice.
And she's all, that's the first memory I ever have of you. And really, ever since then, like, mentor, but also, like, youth kid. I think we had some birthday parties at our old house. We hosted, when she went away to YWAM, we, like, hosted one of her YWAM dinners. Mm-hmm. And then as she, like, got older, she lived with us for a couple of years. And coming from somebody who, like, I really love my family. Like, I love my extended family. My aunts and uncles are great. My cousins are great. But I have always struggled personally with immediate family because I didn't really have one growing up. I have my brother, who I love so much, but now he lives in Texas. And he was always doing his own thing growing up. And so when Alyssa lived with us, we took her and then also her family. And it was really cool because all of a sudden Thanksgivings were at my house. And it was like, I'm this like young home owner and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, Thanksgiving and I have to do all this. But then Carrie would text me like, I'm bringing the turkey and the mashed potatoes and this and that. I'm going to cook it at your house and I'm doing this. And I'm like, okay, this is great. And so Thanksgivings ended up at my house and there's like a picture of us and we're all like around my table and we're holding like the Declaration of Independence. And then
Is Thanksgiving, not the 4th of July.
Nah, Thanksgiving.
Okay, gotcha.
You have to have the Declaration every holiday. And then Christmases ended up starting, like they'd come over. And it's not like they're coming over to have Christmas with Alyssa. We're getting those presents. Andy and I are getting Christmas presents and we're giving presents. And so it was really cool because it was like, this is what it feels like to have holidays with immediate family. Yeah. And it just made me so appreciative of you and your guys' family and you as a father figure, like for me, not having my dad anymore and seeing how like you run your family and really, like, Alyssa is always like, yeah, my dad, I love my dad. And just seeing that and having that for me personally, and I think for Andy too, is like instrumental for us because it really is, it's beautiful. You have kids in different ages and you guys just love being a family together and doing things together and supporting each other. And I've always been like so honored to be a part of that.
And I always am looking at the other side of the story, and the thing is that it's one powerful scripture is that he puts the orphan in a family. Mm-hmm. You weren't necessarily an orphan, but you were put in a family for sure. And that's what you're talking about. And we, on the other side of that, can be a family for somebody who needs a family. And what kind of ministry is more powerful than that? The love of God. I mean, God created family. Mm-hmm. And for us to say, okay, we're going to be family for this person that needs that.
Yeah, and I tell Alyssa all the time because we do a lot together. We go to Disneyland together all the time. And we're always like joking about, we joke about the term of like best friend. And I've told her multiple times, like, I feel like I like have that term like loosely now, best friend. Like I'm not, this is my best friend, my person. And I tell her, I don't think you're my friend, you're my sister. Like mm-hmm. we're sisters. Yeah. And so like it goes further past friendship. And even like over the years, I know that for a long time I would only see her, and then all of a sudden I started seeing her and then Rick at church, and then now they're in a home group. And then slowly I would see her and Rick and Carrie. And then it was like her and Rick and Carrie and Lily. And I think one day I like leaned over to her and I was like, I just want you to know, despite all of the things that you feel sometimes you struggle with, if it's yourself or family or like your future, just look down three rows ahead of you and like your whole family is sitting in church. Mm-hmm. From your mom to your sister and your aunt and your friend and her mom, and they're all sitting together, and your mom's yeah. going down getting prayer.
Look at that.
And your sister's at junior high group and she's going to camp. And what an incredible like testimony for the love of God in your life.
You know? Not to be taken for granted.
Not to be yeah. taken for granted.
Rick, what's on your heart that you really want to share, either what the Lord's working on you right now, or just, hey, Kevin, when you and I talked about this conversation, this is the thing that was up front for me. This is what I really wanted to share. What's that?
I think the thing that's most on my heart goes with what Brianna was saying. We really worry about preaching and teaching the Word of God at Foothills. And I love Foothills. I don't think I've ever been as in love with a church in my life as Foothills. It has a lot more to do with just us, like the family of God. And with that said, 1 Timothy tells us, if you don't provide for your family, those who God has given you, then you're worse than an unbeliever. And that also goes along with faith. And you can hear from the evidence of what we're talking about right now that Brianna is a product of faith. Your sons and daughters and grandchildren are a product of faith. What is it, like 50 of them?
Yeah, at least.
It's 80 last episode.
Not this guy's enough. Got an army, you know what I mean? And
I'm going to have them all on sometime. If we have enough microphones, it's going to be great. Hey, kids, you got to share.
And the witness of Alyssa and testimony of her life and what God has done through her and in her is just a matter of sharing the faith with your family first. And I think that is got to be really something that people sometimes they overlook it, the value and the importance of serving your family first. Obviously, Youth Venture has been this amazing opportunity for me to serve the Lord. There is nothing that means more to me in life than to see people grow up in Christ. Mm. That is my vision for my life. And to fan into that flame, I serve families too. I guess if I'm given the mic and I'm asked what is on my heart, it's you, the listener out there, the person that's got kids, the person that's got a mom, the person that's got an estranged cousin, or somebody in their life that just needs the Word of God, that needs the love of Christ, the forgiveness. Maybe they've done you wrong or you've done them wrong. Maybe you just work a lot and you haven't had time to tell your kids how much you love them and how much they mean to you. Maybe you need to go sit with them in kids' church this week. Maybe you need to spend time with them reading the Word, even though you're tired, your boots are dirty, whatever's going on. Maybe you're in a struggling relationship with your wife, or you're struggling with dependency. Don't let that crush you. Push forward to your family. Push forward to Christ with the idea that He's going to see you through that, and He's going to see amazing things come out of that. And I guess the other thing is, we can look at sharing your faith in a lot of different spectrums, because you can do a lot of things. And I can sit here and tell you stories after stories. But the important thing is, are you being fed? Mm-hmm. Are you receiving the gospel? Mm. Are you going to church every week? Are you listening like a child to the Word of God with an anxious hope, with an expectation that God's going to teach you something amazing? He's going to show you something unbelievable. He's going to do something unbelievable through your life. Do you have a vision for you and your family and your kids? Is that vision in God? Is that something that God is saying, I want to see your son or daughter grow up to be a worship leader, an evangelist, a missionary, an average person that goes to work every day and shares their faith?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whatever it is, don't underestimate how much God is going to do in you and your family.
Yeah. Well said.
Amen.
Amen.